Alrighty then, hello and welcome to North Shore Sports Night on a stormy Monday night. I'm Rick Moore along with Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer Bill Proposky. Bill Newell also will be here this evening. And although it's a dearth of sports, live sports that is, we have a lot that we can discuss and a lot that's up there on the website. We have started our special features called MSO Sports Salutes the Class of 2020, and we have our first video up there right now. So check out our website and see the interview with Newburyport High School's outstanding lacrosse player, Maggie Pons. Great interview today with her and, of course, with Director of Athletics, Kyle Hodson. Tim will be here with us in just a second. We'll be talking with old friend Matt Roy, see what he's up to. He's out somewhere out there. We'll also be checking in with Lynn Classical baseball coach Mike Sikowski, Danvers baseball coach Sean Secondon, and with Luke Marshall of the North Shore Navigators. So all of that coming up here. And yeah, I've got them all. And, of course, we're going to start things off with Coach Kearns. How you doing, Tim?
I'm well, Rick. And yourself?
The same.
Good.
I think I get a little bit of a fever, of cabin fever. Temperature goes up a little bit maybe once a week, and then I'm okay. How are you guys making out?
No, we're doing fine. The medium has been going back to work a couple of days a week as they've needed her assistance in the building. But, as unsafe as a hospital environment can be, it's as safe as they can possibly make it. So we're handling that well.
I talk with one of my doctors on Friday. I guess, what do you call that, telemedicine or something. But anyway, he was talking of a couple of hospitals in the area, I think including MGH in Boston, but also Salem Hospital, on how the numbers have certainly flattened, and that the hospitals are not nearly as business with COVID, as busy rather, with COVID-19 as they had been. So it looks like the signs are beginning to point in a positive direction.
Well, again, Rick, the thing about a leveling off is that the numbers aren't going any higher, but the numbers are staying the same as they had been previous. So they're not being stressed any further, but they're not being stressed any less.
Well, he was saying that the hospitals are less busy than they were. So I think, in fact, locally the numbers are going down. At least I hope they are. I don't know. I haven't seen this week's. I think they come out on Tuesday usually. But anyway, what catches your eye in the world of sports, Coach?
Well, move across the pond, so to speak. The Premier League in England is doing everything they can to try to organize the return to professional soccer in as swift a fashion as possible as the government allows them. Several of the top teams' training grounds have opened up for players to go back in and begin training. They're looking to a mid-May return to the pitch. And it'll be interesting because, again, they'll be playing to empty stadiums. And there's still always, the danger of players coming into contact with each other and possibly, passing the virus. So it's something that they're going to have to be very aware of. And what concerns me a lot about these sports teams wanting to go back, and they're all talking about, we're going to be testing everybody involved every week. Well, that's, if you put all the leagues together and all the numbers of players, you're talking thousands of weekly tests, and not for anything, but we still have a need tested in this country, less than 2% of the population, and we're talking about committing testing kits to athletes so they can go out and play, and meanwhile, we've got 98% of the population not knowing whether they have coronavirus or not. So it seems to me we kind of have it a little backwards there. And I'm a great supporter of sports, don't get me wrong, but I think the health of the general population comes before the health of any one particular sports team.
I think, everybody's working on that, and I think that I don't think there's any one answer, Tim. I think, you know, you got to look at this from the way you got to look at it. And, you know, the testing thing, school's out on that for me. I don't understand the whole deal. I don't understand how you expect to come up with 300 million tests for the United States. It just that just doesn't make any sense at all. So this whole idea about testing has got me a little baffled. But again, you know, I'll leave that to the experts, and I read that every day. But I know that the Patriots did not make a splash in terms of big names during the weekend, during the NFL draft. But according to NBC Sports Boston, they did a pretty good job in possibly replenishing the defense with some youth.
Yeah, well, they did. They did go, you know, with some D linemen later in the draft. They went for linebackers. They went for a safety, even though that's one of the strongest points. But everybody in that secondary is getting up there in age, and they're going to have to start replacing them. I looked on one website, and they gave the pass a C for the draft again, because they didn't go big splashy names or, you know, big name colleges and all this crap. But that's never been a Bill Belichick thing. Belichick has always gone low key, best value for the dollar. You know, guys that he can mold, guys that he knows are going to work hard, that they're going to accept the challenge, accept maybe a change to the role that they have historically had in college. And so Bill Belichick had a typical Bill Belichick draft. You know, not a lot of big splashes, but, you know, we'll see what he has in terms of overall talent. That's the thing. What are they going to do once they're able to get back out on the football field? And again, we don't know when that's going to happen.
Well, you know, the first Super Bowl was won with team, and that was before Tom Brady became Tom Brady. And then, of course, Tom Brady developed into Tom Brady, and then it was Tom Brady plus team. But he's always emphasized team, so we'll see. Coming up, we will be talking Bill. We'll be talking with Mike Zukowski. He's the Lynn Classical High School baseball coach. Danvers baseball coach Sean Secondini will also be talking with Bill. Some creative coaching going on right now. Coach, I know that a lot of drills, a lot of upkeep, a lot of training is going on via the conferencing and via the virtual clinics, if you will, that everybody's involved in, because I guess you're not supposed to coach one specific sport right now. But a lot of creativity happening.
Yeah, and you have to, you know, because since there are no spring sports, you know, there's no direct contact. So we're going to have to see how creative coaches can get. It's going to have to be a lot of the individual players to, you know, like we were talking last week, get out there, find a wall, get a rubber ball, start bouncing it off it. You know, just it's one-on-none drills, just keeping footwork, keeping hand-eye coordination. You know, there are some kids that have built backyard batting cages, and you're going to have to utilize that. You know, it's how creative can you be in your workouts and in your creation of skill practices that you can do?
Well, should have some of those questions answered at least when Bill talks with the coaches tonight. And, you know, it remains to be seen what's going to happen this summer when the weather does get warm and the kids do want to get outside and see if they get away from their PlayStation and from their video screens and actually want to participate. We'll find out. All right, we're going to be talking with Matt Roy in just a minute here. We'll take a break. This is North Shore Sports Night. We try to do this most Monday nights. Tim and I have been doing this, I think, since what, 05 or 06, Tim, something like that?
I think it was the fall of 06.
Oh, my goodness. All right. So we've been doing it a while, and we're still doing it. So stay with us.
We'll still trying to get it right.
Well, it's you here. I can't do the board. All right. We'll be right back with Matt Roy. So please stay with us.
MSO News Sports is a unique multimedia website providing exclusive news and sports content for the North Shore. Our goal is to keep you connected to your local neighbors throughout Essex County and beyond. We feature the best of the North Shore, and we couldn't provide this service without the powerful support of our local sponsors. Like Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury, the Bradford Tavern in Rowley. Just like us, they care about the North Shore. Check out all of our podcasts and share our website with your friends. Email us at msonewsports@gmail.com. msonewsports@gmail.com. Again, we are your connection to the best of the North Shore. msonewsports.com.
I'm Bob Gillis, president of Cape Ann Savings Bank, serving the Cape Ann community with stability and commitment for over 170 years. Since 1846, our customers have relied on our local bank service and big bank benefits. Stop by our office as a call to talk about your banking needs at 978-283-0246. Built on community, capeannsavings.bank.
Member FDIC. Member DIF. Equal housing lender.
Gloucester's Walter Wilkins Insurance Agency is teaming up with Columbia Insurance to deliver a full line of products, personal home and auto policies, as well as a full line of commercial coverage for business owners, including commercial property and commercial vehicle coverage. Wilkins partners with respected companies such as Plymouth Rock, Quincy Mutual, Commerce, and Safeco. For City of Gloucester employees, there are discounts on auto and home policies. Wilkins Insurance is located at 186 Main Street, Gloucester. Now partnering with Columbia Insurance, serving the North Shore.
All right, Coach, I think what we're going to do is we're going to go to an interview here, then we'll see if we can get a hold of Matt later on. We struck out, but we're going to check in with Bill Newell. Bill talking with a couple of baseball coaches in the area during this time of emergency when high schools are not playing sports right now. So we'll be going on that interview right now with Bill Newell, and then we'll come back with Tim and hopefully Matt. This is Connections. No, it's not. It's North Shore Sports Night. I'll be back.
Lynn Classical baseball coach Mike Zukowski is joining us. And Mike, welcome, and thanks for taking a few minutes to join us.
Thanks, Bill. During these times, I have all the time in the world. A few minutes is nothing.
You're right. Got plenty of time. Pretty available. I know everyone's available to talk and so on. But Mike, maybe a thought from you on the communications that you've had with your team over the course of the last several weeks. With spring sports on hold and now clearly canceled altogether. What are kids saying, and what can you say to your baseball team?
Well, in the beginning, when school was canceled or shut down, we started a text thread and kept in touch that way. We had hoped that the season would come back, and since the governor has closed everything down for the remainder of the school year, the season, the MIAA followed suit and canceled the season. And I'm just devastated for, the seniors who, as we know, is their last season. It's a fun season for them. Memories, friendships, it's there still from the school year and their other seasons, but this is like the grand finale, the spring sports season and the graduation and saying bye to their friends. So I just feel so bad for these guys.
Certainly there's always that excitement in the spring. It's kind of a different excitement than you might get in the fall, or even at Thanksgiving. It's got its own unique time in the school with the spring sports, and if you're doing well in the spring and into postseason, that's always a great time. And then of course the seniors have all the other activities to look forward to, and plus knowing that the clock is counting down and they're only a few days left here and there. So yeah, it's a time that they won't get and won't be able to get back either.
Right. Like you said, that spring season is awesome. A lot of them already decided on college to go to, so that weight is off their shoulders. The work at school for seniors is usually done by then. A lot of them will be out of school, so they're just coming to their practices, and it's a different attitude. It's a different feeling for them, and they won't get that. And that's why it's just kind of lost words what to say to them. And none of us have experienced that, so it's tough.
Mike, if you were to note your seniors, let's just start with a few seniors that you would have had on the team this year at Classical. Maybe tell me about them and their scheduled roles that they would have had with the team.
So we had probably five seniors coming back that were definites for the varsity team. Two of them were captains, Jared DiFilippo, was our shortstop, and Aiden Dow was a pitcher, first baseman. We also had Sean Anderson, who's one of our outfielders. Luke Rayo was a pitcher. Tim Narek Jr., he was a catcher, outfielder, kind of a utility guy. The five of those guys were, you know, the base of our team. They've put so much work and done so much for us the last 4 years. It's just heartbreaking to see what's happening now.
Also, Mike, the juniors. Tell us what it means for the juniors to miss out on this year as well, if any of them are looking to play beyond, you know, the high school level.
Yeah, that's also a tough, you know, miss for them. You know, we had a lot of kids that were, if they had successful seasons, put up some numbers, good numbers, they would have got a lot of looks from colleges. And that's a big year. It's a decision year. A lot of them will be on visits. Coaches recruiting, seeing what these kids have. And they like to have that decision made by the time their junior season's over. So those kids that were looking to, you know, make an impression on some of these college coaches, they're not going to get that chance either.
Hey, tell me a bit more about Aiden Dow. What was his role or would have been his role on the baseball team? Because I watched him on football and basketball this past year, and, you know, he just gets the job done out there. He's a real competitor.
He is. You know, his baseball IQ is very high. On the mound, he fields his position very well. He's got a great pickoff move. Throws strikes, goes after batters, gets his outs, competes. Competitor through and through, all sports. And he plays first base as well. He's very good glove down there. Smart with the defensive plays and pickoffs. So he's a huge asset, was a huge asset to have on the Classical baseball team.
Mm-hmm. Mike, anything else you want to share with us about, about the team or anything else, any other conversations you might have had with other coaches, during this time in the spring?
I mean, I think all the coaches are in the same boat. We just feel so bad for these seniors and the team in general. I just want to say thank you to our seniors and how much we appreciate them and what they've done over the years and wish them all the best in the future.
And this would have been a championship year for you, right, Mike? I mean, you're going to win the Northeastern Conference, right, this year and, probably go undefeated,
100%, 100%. State champions, everything. So that's very disappointing.
It's probably not funny. I'm sorry about that. But no, it's one of those things that, I wonder how this plays out. Hopefully this never happens again, but what this story will be, how it will be told like 10 years from now. I would just wonder how it'll all play out with the kids and the coaches.
No, it's crazy. Yeah. Who knows? I mean, hopefully it doesn't happen again. And these kids are going to have a story to tell for years.
Exactly. Well, Mike, always good talking with you. And, again, I wish we were talking about a game result here today or tonight, but it's not the case. But, stay safe and keep educating those children of yours, right?
That's right. Thanks, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. Take care. Mike Zukowski, Lynn Classical baseball coach, with us here on North Shore Sports Night.
All right, that's Lynn Classical Baseball, and we're going to switch out now to some more baseball or other stuff. We're going to be chatting with Matt Roy. Tim Kearns is with us. And, Matt, welcome back. It's been a while.
How you doing, Rick? It's been a long time.
We're doing well here, just finishing up the storm, hopefully, between all the rain and the wind. How is it out where you – now, where the hell are you?
I am in Winchendon, which is about – if anybody knows where Gardner is, out by Worcester, that's where I am.
Okay.
I'm almost literally in New Hampshire. About 5 minutes from my house where I'm sitting right now is New Hampshire.
Oh, all right. Okay. So, and you're writing for the Gardner News. And so I'm going to let Tim grill you, but first I want to know how things are going out there. Now, excuse me, what do they have for high school sports in Winchendon?
Well, Winchendon has, we have about five local schools, but much the same as out there. They have all the same sports and some pretty good teams out here. They just don't get a lot of notoriety because a lot of times they don't get to play the teams out there. But we've had some pretty good programs out here.
Well, I always thought that there's Massachusetts and then everything west of Worcester is New York anyway, so, you know, that's how I looked at it. Coach, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Rick. You know, Matt, one of the things that was discussed a lot this past school year with the MIAA decision to realign the playoff system was the fact that Western Mass teams only had to play sometimes three games like in the spring, and Eastern Mass teams had to play upwards of five games to get to a title game.
I mean, you are correct. I mean, out here, it's just there's not the same amount of teams as you have back in Eastern Mass. Central Mass and Western Mass, it's really hard to fill up a tournament bracket. You just frankly don't have the amount of teams that you have from out there, because a lot of these schools are regionals and they're combining two and three towns together.
Right. So, you know, and of course, one of the things that has to be taken into consideration out there too is, I guess, travel time for some of these teams. If you're playing regionals, it's not like you're hopping over to the next town. You've got to do a little bit of traveling. So the budgetary concern for those leagues has to be something that they look at very carefully.
You are correct. I mean, we had some teams in the basketball state tournament this winter that had great years, but they were driving an hour and 20 minutes to play a sectional tournament game just because of the way the brackets were set up, because of the lack of amount of teams around here. And I don't know, I don't think that's fair for anybody.
Right. Yeah, and then you're trying to, you know, determine what divisions people should be in, you know.
And that's a whole other fight. I mean, we've had you look out here, you see a team like West Springfield or Springfield Central that won a football state title this past year. They should have been playing in the division they're in. They're just that good, but it's just the enrollment of the school puts them there.
Right.
Matt, one of the things the guys have been doing back here, both at the Salem News and the Gloucester Times and the Daily Item, they've been doing a lot of retrospectives because, you know, there isn't the live sporting event to cover. And they've been going back, like Nick Kukuru over the Gloucester Times, he's been looking back at the last 10 years, and I think Phil has also, Phil Stacey. And when did you move out there? How long ago was that?
I came out here, it's 3 years ago in November.
All right.
Right,
so,
before Thanksgiving, about 3 years ago.
So they've been doing teams of the decade, and I don't want to put you on the spot, but I mean, if you look back at the teams that you covered, certainly Lynn English winning their second basketball state championship in a row this year, even though they didn't play that state championship game, they're credited with being co-champs, is a highlight of the decade, you know, from 2010, if you include 2010 and 2020 and the years in between. That's 11, by the way, but... I wonder if you could look back, maybe if anything comes to mind on some of the coverage that you did in the era, whether it's winter sports, summer sports, or whatever, hockey, basketball, whatever it might be, because you saw a lot of action while you were covering sports in this area.
We saw a lot together, didn't we, over the years?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Well, that one, Lynn English certainly brought a smile to this guy's face the last couple of years. I will admit that freely, being a Lynn English alum.
Mm-hmm.
But I really did enjoy Gary Larrabee's feature on the Danvers basketball program, and people tend to forget how good that program was a few years ago with that run they had with John Walsh. That's something you probably aren't going to see very much of ever again, a team be that good for that long.
Well, you know, when it was happening, Matt and Tim, when it was happening, it sort of sneaked up on me like, oh, they went unbeaten, or, oh, they won the state championship, and then next year, oh, it happened again. They keep winning. And I didn't give it the thought that I see now on what an accomplishment it was. You remember that, Tim? You remember how they just kept winning, but it didn't generate, I think, the kind of ink that maybe it should have.
Well, I think one of the things, and Gary and I talked about this last week, is the fact that, you know, it was such a each of those teams was so well balanced and came at you from so many different directions, but none of those kids on those teams were dominant players. They could each take over a game, but it was always very quietly. They were all quiet at that. There was nobody truly dominant that grabbed all the headlines. Everybody took pictures of. It was such a total team effort on the part of those Danvers teams. That's why it stayed under the radar for so long.
Good point.
And I think that speaks to the kind of coach that John Walsh was, is that he came from Watertown as an assistant coach. And you got to remember, when he showed up in Danvers, they weren't very good. If people tend to forget that. They were struggling when he showed up there. And it was almost like overnight, he took that program and they went from missing the state tournament to making the state tournament to winning state titles, I think it was, what, 2 out of 3 years. So it was like an overnight thing, but it speaks how good of a coaching job he did.
What's the big news?
If you've got talent, the key to it is getting kids to buy into it, you know, and believing in what you're teaching them, how you want them to play, not only in terms of effort, but also in terms of schematics, that what he's trying to get you to do is going to prove beneficial. And when you begin to see results very quickly, there's a much bigger buy-in, a more intense buy-in by the kids through the entire program, and it's easier to convince the kids on the JV and the freshman level to do the exact same thing, to prepare to come up and do that with the varsity.
I mean, probably two of the best dynasties I covered, Rick, and we saw a lot of it together, was Gloucester football at the end of the Paul Ingram era, probably one of the best runs you're ever going to see in that sport. And then I had the chance to watch the St. Mary's Girls hockey team win 3 straight state championships and go over 100 games without losing.
Yeah.
You'll ever see.
Good point. And I know that Paul's teams, I think, what did Tim, he was 50-2, I think, in his last 4 years. 50 wins, 2 losses.
Yeah, 3 undefeated seasons, 4 Super Bowls, 3 Super Bowl wins.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible. But I forgot about the field hockey team, Matt. That's some kind of record as well. Great, good memory there, kid.
Rick, he's still young, still has a memory.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Well, Matt, anything else you want to mention here? Anything comes to mind sports-wise before we let you go? And don't be a stranger. We're going to have to check in with you more often.
Tim and I were talking about before I came on that I'm sad to see that the Aganis games were canceled coming up in June. I didn't kind of plan my vacation this summer around coming back to see all that. But I was also pleased when you talked about that they're going to hand the scholarships out to the kids still, which is great to see.
Yeah, that is. And that's a great, great tribute to the organization, Paul Halloran and, excuse me, and your old friend Steve Cross and those guys to do that.
I forgot to mention Teddy Grant.
And Ted, yep, of course, the daily item, absolutely. And it is sad that that's not going to happen. But I know that in this area, Matt, and I'm sure out there as well, everybody I talk with, and you know, anecdotally, very everybody's sad, not only for the fact that the seniors, high school seniors, won't be playing sports, but also that the seniors are sort of getting, they're getting the short end of the shrift here in terms of their graduation, their May and their June celebrations. And I imagine it's the same out there.
You're absolutely correct. We have our Facebook page, and we posted a story on it the other day about should these kids have these graduations. And, I mean, it's sad to see that they're not going to probably get the chance to have it, so in person anyway, other than virtually. And that's something I know when I had mine in 1998, it's about a good long time ago, it's something I still remember to this day. I feel bad that these kids aren't going to probably get to experience that in person.
You know, I can't remember my graduate. Can you, Tim? I can't remember it. No.
How about this, Rick? It was at the Old Town Line House.
Oh, well.
My Lord.
I'm pretty sure I was at mine.
I hope so.
I think I was. Oh, well, that's a story for another day. Hey, Matt, great talking with you, brother. You and your family be safe, and we'll do this more often from now on.
I look forward to it, Rick. Great to see you and talk to you and Tim, as always.
All right, Matt, take care.
All righty, Matt. You be good, buddy.
You too, Timmy.
right.
All righty.
That is Matt Roy. When we come back, we're going to check in with, who are we checking in with? Gary Larrabee, and then we've got still a couple more interviews to go. So please stay with us. This is Connection. No, it's, I did it again. This is North Shores. I'm just going to push the button here and get to the next interview, and we'll have Gary Wright with us in a minute.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Professional builders and remodelers choose Anderson Windows more than any other brand in the United States. They do so because Anderson Windows and patio doors offer beautiful natural wood interiors, low-maintenance exteriors, and outstanding energy efficiency. See the complete line of Anderson Windows at any of our three locations in Beverly, North Reading, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Okay, the rain continues, the wind continues, and we continue with some golf talk, another talk with Gary Larrabee, excuse me, sports historian, golf writer, and all-around good guy. How are you, Gary?
I'm well, guys. How are you guys doing since we spoke a week ago?
Doing good.
Gary, very good.
Yeah, all things considered.
From all sides, very good.
All things considered. Well, Gary, nothing has changed since last week.
No, it's not, and... We did hear from Governor Baker today that he will be making some announcements later this week, I believe, as to what conditions we'll be functioning under as of May 5th, I guess. This current edict works through May 4th. And I know all of the people who are involved with golf certainly hope that no matter what all-encompassing edicts he passes or announces later this week, that he might make an exception with the golf industry in Massachusetts and allow us to play golf and to conduct golf business and to practice as long as we, you know, practice the appropriate social distancing. And let's hope it works. Let's hope he makes that announcement.
I hope so. And I think that a couple of other things, what they've done in Gloucester and other places is a little concerning because the beaches have been, at least the beach parking lots have been closed, and parks have been closed, the parking areas, and what it's done, at least in on Cape Ann, is it's forced everybody to go to the boulevard. So everybody's congesting on the boulevard instead of spreading out where they would be otherwise. So I'm hoping they open up some of these places, or you know, in a safe manner, of course. What is on the golf front, Gary? I know that, I don't know anything. You've got to tell me.
Well, everything is still a waiting game. I will make note that a prominent member of the North Shore golfing community passed away over the weekend. Dick Holland, 71, living in Florida, the son of three-time former state senior champion Tim Holland from Wenham, passed away at the age of 71, so that's a sad note. But on a more positive note, I had a chance to talk the other day with Rob Oppenheim, Salem-born, Andover-raised, who's in his third go-around on the PGA Tour, and he's obviously itching in a big way because he's in one of the Iron Men out there on the tours, whether he's playing the Corn Ferry Tour or the PGA. He wants to play virtually every week. His wife and kids understand that because he hasn't played now for 5-6 weeks, and he's just hoping that the next scheduled PGA Tour event coming up, I think it's the second week in June at Fort Worth, the Charles Schwab Open, held at the venerable Colonial Country Club in Fort Worth, will take place, and that's the initial game plan. He can't wait. He says to get on that plane in Orlando on Monday morning, I think it's the 11th or 12th, and get to Fort Worth and practice for a couple of days and tee it up on Thursday. He is in the field. He's already entered.
to get back on the flow of things on the PGA Tour.
All right, Gary, in regards to getting back on the tour, I had a couple of things I wanted to talk about, so I'm going to go to my second one first, and that is conditioning. Guys getting back into playing shape, and again, we oftentimes look at golfers and go, well, it's not a sport where you have to be in great shape, though Tiger certainly turned that notion on its head when he appeared, and now 99% of the guys look like Tiger when he was at his peak. They're all thin, they're wiry, they're strong. They have very long games. And I was on the PGA website today, and one of the things was conditioning. And there's this guy, Thor Parrish, out of Quail Creek Country Club in Naples, Florida. There's a shameless plug for him, who has produced these videos of workouts that golfers can do to get themselves in shape as they prepare to get back out on the courses.
Well, it's been the way to go for many years now, but because Tiger set the tone, and all the players don't succeed in getting lean and mean and ripped, but they all are trying to accomplish that. And speaking to Rob, he's been working out every day at home in Winter Park, Florida, which is right near next to Orlando. His wife, he's thrilled to be spending some very unique, special time with his wife, Lacey, and two children, Zoe and James. But he's out there chipping and putting every day because he's a nice little putting green in his backyard. So it's conditioning, Tim. It's practicing within reason, and he got a guy in his first round, his first game on a golf course in almost a month, late last week, and it felt good. He played right around par, and he knows exactly what he has to do. I think the tour is going to give the players 2 weeks' notice to let them know when it's a definite go for Fort Worth, the middle of June, and that'll be a time for these guys to really crank it up and get ready for competition. And, you know, they're playing for million five first place every week at least.
Right.
And Rob's going to be ready. Rob's been in great shape. He just turned 40 in January, and he's not in the worst of shape. He's like 119 on the FedEx Cup list. He's like 135 or something in the money, and he's made over $300,000 this year, but he knows he's going to get his act together and have a couple of big weeks between now and the end of the season, which may come with the FedEx Cup playoffs, which would be the end of August, which includes TPC Boston as one of the three stops, or they may, based on whether they start in Fort Worth in mid-June or not, they may carry over the 2020 PGA Tour and combine it with 2021, because the tour, you know, starts in the fall, and it goes until basically the end of next August.
Hmm.
That's the game plan for this year, but because they're losing 3 months, they haven't played since the first round of the Players back in early March.
Right.
So Rob's gonna get his act together and get going and play some terrific golf. He's had one top 10 so far. He's had fourth placings in the top 25, but he knows he has to have a couple of big weeks between now and whenever the tour season more or less ends. He has to finish in the top 125 like every year to regain his card for next year. And he's 119 right now, so if he can maintain that pace, he'll retain his card for next season. But if they extend the season all the way into 2021, that'll be a horse of a different color.
Well, we can only hope that once he gets back, he gets in the groove very, very quickly and is able to score some very high finishes.
Yeah, he made the cut three of his last four tournaments. He had a big finish, tied for ninth at Puerto Rico back in February. But he's very confident. He's anxious to get back out there, and he's expecting big things from himself. Hopefully they'll be playing back in June, but he knows it may very well, you know, they're not going to be playing until July or maybe even the 1st of August. Who knows how this is all going to evolve, guys? You know, professional sports organization is still making this up as they go, since they've never encountered anything like this before. And we know what the NBA and the NHL and Major League Baseball are dealing with. And of course, so far, the NFL has not been negatively impacted, but I guarantee you the NFL is already working on contingency plans where they're going to have to play, if they're lucky, with a reduced schedule. You know, they're playing, you know, 16 games right now. I think they're not going until 17 games till next year, if that's correct.
Right.
Rick, is that correct?
Yeah, that's next year. And, you know, Gary, the sports writers locally and nationally, or at least in Boston, have been challenged by the lack of effort, by the lack of playing on the field, the lack of, daily activity. They've been challenged, and they've come up with some pretty creative articles and stories and so on. What are you working on now?
Well, to address that observation, it's very true, whether it's the local guys with the suburban dailies or the metropolitan guys at the Globe and the New York Times and Washington Post and whatnot. They've been very creative and very entertaining, but nonetheless, it's not what the typical sports fan wants to read too much more about.
Right.
If they want to talk about who won what and who played what last night and,
mm-hmm.
and where the Red Sox are going. But in my case, Rick, I did that special 8-part series on Demas High boys basketball. Minnie Dynasty marked 5 years this year, this past March. And otherwise, just looking at the golf scene and keeping an eye on the golf scene and looking to write about people and noteworthy events that have happened in the past God knows how many years, based on whether we get back into a real tournament season. But I'm not optimistic right now, guys, that there'll be even a tournament golf season around here until maybe July or August.
Yeah.
And I'd like to be more optimistic than that, but this virus is still so dangerous. And if you heard either Governor Baker or Mayor Walsh today, they're not very optimistic. We're going to get back to normal for a long, long time.
What?
Well, in so many different places, you know, you're reading today these people who scoffed at the notion of the virus, the severity of the virus, you know, have contracted the virus and died. So, you know, you have to take it seriously. You know, it's out there. No one knows who has it, you know, because such a small percentage of the population has been tested. So we all could be walking around with it and not know it. And so that's a great danger. And again, until, you know, there's a level that the government's going to feel comfortable, you can put large groups of people within a relatively small confine, they're not going to allow those things to happen.
No. And right now, I know Major League Baseball and even the NBA and the NHL are prepared to start their seasons with no fans in the stands. But one other big factor, which you just referred to, Tim, was the fact that Sweden is returning to relative normalcy, and the United States officials and health officials around the world are following to see how Sweden, who's had just about as many deaths per population, per capita, however they do those proportional things, as America, they're watching to see if the virus comes back with a serious second wave. If the numbers stay very low, we may get back to a somewhat new normal before 4th of July. But they're watching Sweden, because Sweden's pretty much returned back to a gradual normal, and it's still a waiting game, guys. And patience is an absolute virtue in this kind of a situation. And I think we're going to be working on more patience than getting back into the scheme of things.
Well, I think you're right, Gary. That's it. We have to be patient. We've got to remain patient. Final question: is there a column coming up this weekend in the Salem News?
Yeah, we'll be talking with as referred to, with Rob Oppenheim, and he's the North Shore's lone representative on the PGA Tour, and only the second player with Salem roots to ever play on the PGA Tour. The first, of course, was Dick Hart, who won the Azalea Open in Carolina in a seven-hole playoff with Phil Rowley, I'm sure. So I'm still thinking that Rob might break through, and we'll be writing about Rob this week, and hoping he can get back in action very soon.
Sounds good, Gary. All right, you stay safe, stay well, and we'll talk to you next Monday.
You guys as well, your families as well, and keep the faith, guys.
Appreciate it, Gary. Thank you.
Be good.
All right.
That is Gary Larrabee, who is a golf writer and sports historian. We'll take a break. And next, Bill Newell will be talking with Danvers baseball coach Sean Secondini. All right, so stay with us. This is North Shore Sports Night on MSO.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Professional builders and remodelers choose Anderson Windows more than any other brand in the United States. They do so because Anderson Windows and patio doors offer beautiful natural wood interiors, low-maintenance exteriors, and outstanding energy efficiency. See the complete line of Anderson Windows at any of our three locations in Beverly, North Reading, or Plastow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Danvers baseball coach Sean Secondini is with us. And, Coach, welcome. Thanks for taking some time to join us.
Hey, Bill, absolutely. It's always, especially now, it's good to talk some baseball.
Yes. Now, there is no baseball, as we all know, with the spring sports high school season being canceled. So tell me what your players were doing and are doing now and what you've been telling them and what they have been telling you. That's everything right there, I guess.
Yeah. No, it's been one, series of bad news after another, starting with the delay, and then, we had the date of May 4th, and then, now with the season being canceled, it's just really, really tough news, obviously, to hear. And, today I wanted to wait a couple of days, so I actually started today reaching out to the seniors, and it was just so hard, and I'm trying to talk to them and trying to find something positive to tell them. And I told them kind of in the message that, there really isn't, I can't see anything positive out of your season being canceled, not being able to, play, for your town, for your school another year. And I guess the only thing that I really got out of it, and I hope the kids got something out of it too, was maybe there is nothing positive, but there's a lesson. And, the lesson is, you can't take anything for granted, because it's the things that you take for granted that hurt the most when they get taken from you. So, this life lesson came at these kids way too early, in my opinion. But, I hope this is something this group can take, moving forward in their life.
Sean, I think you really hit the nail on the head there with that, because, there really isn't anything good to take out of what's happened the last 6 weeks or so, and then looking ahead to have the season canceled for the athletes, for sure. But you're right. It clearly is a learning moment for all of us. And, they're way too young to have to learn something like that, but they'll go on. Tell me about your seniors and your captains, and who are those players?
Sure. So the captains this year selected were Mike Morrill, Calvin Mansfield, and Brett Palladino. And, the seniors coming into this season were those three, along with Ben Olzak, Bryce Ruess, Declan Quinn. And I'm looking at the picture there. See if I got everybody. So, yeah, for those guys, we had so many, positive things plan for the season, and they were a really special group, and just to have it taken from them, it really, really hurts.
What have they said to you at all, Coach? What are you hearing from them? And I imagine a lot of kids are working out on their own, obviously, even though there are no captain's practices and no gatherings, so to speak.
Right. Yeah, I know. they've been working out on their own. I gave them workouts that they could do at home when this kind of first, you know, started happening, and you know, we weren't able to meet, you know, with the hope of May 4th. You know, just giving them things, different, you know, drills they can do at home. You know, obviously promoting the, you know, with the social distancing, but you know, if they have a brother or someone at home to play catch with, or just do maybe soft toss against a fence, or with wiffle balls, or even whatever you can do, just to do something baseball wise. But there was really only so much, you know, they could do. And, you know, they're just missing the camaraderie of it all with the team. And, you know, it's just for a senior, you know, you think about the best part of your senior year, probably the best couple months of your entire school history is, you know, the second half of your senior year, you know, with prom and, you know, graduation and just all, you know, being around everything. I really feel for these kids, but, you know, they're actually taking it really well. A lot of them are responding back with, you know, positivities and feeling bad for other groups of people. They were saying how they feel bad for people in college who are, you know, paying tuition and not getting school out of it. I'm like, man, you guys are making me look bad with the way you're looking at this through positivity. So it's just tough, though.
Yeah, tell me about, do you have some seniors that are going on to play, you know, next year?
Yeah, so Mike Morrill actually accepted a scholarship to play at American International next season. So he's going to be playing next year. And I believe that Brett is trying to play as well next year in college. I think he's kind of close between two different schools on where he's going to decide to go to. And I know Calvin was looking to play hockey and maybe baseball as well at the next level. And I think Declan was looking to play as well, and Bryce as well was looking to play. So, you know, all of those guys looking to play next year, and Ben Olzak isn't quite sure what he's going to do next year as well, but, you know, they were awesome kids, you know, on and off the field. So, you know, I really wanted, you know, I'm going to miss that opportunity to spend, you know, this season with them, but I know they're going to do great things as they move forward.
Sean, tell me about what this cancellation of the season means to your juniors now. So they're looking for their senior year. So they'll, you know, hopefully this all is gone by then and they'll play senior baseball next year. But what does it mean for them and their, and if, especially if they wanted to go on and play at the college level, you know, in another year or so?
Well, certainly they're going to miss out on, you know, a lot of different showcases and scouts coming to watch them play. The junior year is so important for, you know, their steps going forward, but it, not fortunately, but I guess the word I'm looking for, I can't really find, but all of the juniors, you know, across the United States are in the same position where they're not getting a junior season. So it's not like they're going to be at a disadvantage compared to somebody else. Whether that's positive or negative, I don't really know, but I just know that it's not going to be unfair compared to somebody else. But for them, it's their time to lead. You know, you know, fortunately for us, we had a lot of sophomores that played at the varsity level last season. And, you know, they're going to be put into a leadership role coming into next season. And I'm very confident in a lot of these guys that we have coming back. Even missing this season, we still have, you know, a lot of returners coming back next season. So definitely have high hopes for next year.
That's great. Sean, anything else to share with us? Any conversations you might have had with other coaches or anything like that to share with us as how their people are all dealing with all of it?
Well, the Mass coaches, baseball, has a lot of different workshops, and they've been reaching out to us trying to keep us positive. They're doing different Zoom meetings that you can do, a few of those. And, you know, there's a lot of preparation you can do in this time, whether it's, you know, writing practice plans or maybe looking at old scouting reports or anything, learning new plays, something you can do. But I think a lot of us are in the same position where we just want to play, and that's what's hurting us the most. Is, you know, we just want to be out there on the field. And I had a couple conversations with a few of my players about, you know, the impact that we made off of the field, how they, you know, we feel like as coaches, they, you know, they praise our coaching staff for helping them become better individuals, and that's the stuff, you know, that I really miss the most, because that, you know, you can't really put words to that, because it's just so powerful as what you do as a coach. So I think a lot of us coaches are missing that aspect of it, you know, along with just the little things of baseball that, you know, make us nuts.
Speaking of making you nuts, let me close with this. Does it, when you have a rotten day like today, wind and rain and cold, and you're not probably not going to be playing baseball on a day like today if the season had not been canceled, does that make you feel better that you have a rotten day like this or not?
Yeah, you're right. This has been the worst weather spring I think I've ever seen. So thank God, you know, sometimes I'm looking outside, I'm like, how the heck are we going to play a baseball game today? You're right. These days feel actually a little bit better than the 65 and sunny days where, man, I just wish I was out there playing baseball. But, no, I hope all the other teams and coaches, everyone's staying safe and doing what they need to do. And, you know, I really can't wait for next season even more now, so.
You got it. Well said. Coach Secondini, thanks so much for joining us. And like you noted, stay safe. Thanks for your time.
Absolutely, Bill. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, we'll stop there. That is Sean Secondini, baseball coach at Danvers High.
Harrington Trophy has been rewarding the North Shore for over 30 years with quality custom awards, screen printing, embroidery, and more. We pride our family-owned business on our exceptional customer service and quality products for the right price. Custom T-shirts, sweatshirts, warm-up suits, hats, along with the area's top trophies, plaques, glass awards, we are the one-stop shop for end-of-the-year banquets or advertising your small business through apparel. Come see us at Harrington Trophy, Chestnut Street, Lynn, or harringtontrophy.com.
Enjoy the taste of summer all year round at Cherry Farm Creamery. Pick up an ice cream cake for that special occasion. Cherry Farm Creamery offers the best ice cream right off Route 128 on Conant Street in Danvers. Or visit them at cherryfarmcreamery.com.
Luke Marshall from the North Shore Navigators and from Swampscott and from Stonehill College is joining us right now. Luke, welcome. Thanks for taking a few minutes to join us.
Thank you for having me.
Luke, I know you're trying to get ready for the Navigators this summer. Hopefully the season does take place at some point. But, you know, as a sophomore at Stonehill, a former baseball player at Swampscott High School, I also understand you have a brother that would have been a senior on this year's Swampscott team, but the season's been canceled. Do you have advice for some of our local athletes who are had their spring season canceled?
Yeah, I mean, you really just got to keep your head up and do what you can to try and get better. And if you're moving into a college season or your season's just canceled, I mean, just keep working hard at it and do what you can, like at home and stuff. I mean, it's limited and everyone's dealing with the same type of thing, but the more you can get out ahead of it and pretty much get ahead of the curve, the better off you're going to be on the back end of this whole thing.
Tell me about your first 2 years at Stonehill, and I imagine you were playing at some point this spring before the season ended.
Yeah, so my first year was kind of a big adjustment. I was kind of getting a feel for things on the mound. Really, I had an all right year. I think I pitched around 28 innings or something like that, 30 innings. And then this year I really like felt like I came into my own and was just more comfortable. I was transitioned to pretty much a starter this year, and I was really happy with that. And I don't know, it was just a big comfort thing for me and just getting closer with everyone on my team. I really felt like I found my place.
Yeah, that would obviously take maybe a year to accomplish that, feeling comfortable with your surroundings. How do you think you grew as a player? You mentioned from coming in relief freshman year to more of a starter your sophomore year. How did you grow as a player?
Yeah, I mean, I had a lot of good seniors ahead of me that kind of taught me the ropes and stuff, because they were so my pitching coach this year was actually my captain my freshman year, and he was a fifth year senior, and I learned a lot from him. His name is Mike Young, but he really taught me a lot when it came to kind of like pitching and mentality and stuff. And then there was obviously a lot of other seniors too on the team that I learned from, but it was pretty much just learning the game and just watching how that level of baseball is played. Kind of, it was just different from what I was used to in high school.
I understand. Yeah. So if the season with the Navigators does take place, what will a goal be, having been, you know, kind of out of the competition for a few months here?
I mean, obviously it's going to be a little bit tough to get right back into the swing of things. It'll probably take like a week or two or whatever, but I really just want to be more consistent this season and just learn to command my pitches more and just be like have more of a presence on the mound, just be a lot more. Yeah, I don't know. Consistent, pretty much, I guess.
Yeah, established, developed that poise, I guess, is another way of saying it too. Yeah, but and what are your pitches that you have?
So I throw a 4-seam fastball, a 2-seam, a changeup, and a curveball. Pretty, but my curveball is kind of my go-to.
I want to ask you maybe a couple of questions about your days and or years rather at Swampscott, not just days, your years at Swampscott. What are some baseball memories from Swampscott, Luke?
Oh, I mean all the playoff runs we went on. I mean we never. I think we only made it to semifinals, but I just loved being like I don't know when the end of the season did come around and it was playoff time. Like everyone really locked it in, and it was just like a really competitive environment, and that was always really fun. And at the end of the day, I made, like, some lifelong friends, too, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, tell me about a few of those teammates on your Swampscott team from a couple of years ago. And some of them are still playing baseball themselves, right?
Yeah, so let me think who's still playing. I know Ryan Gracial's at Salve right now.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm trying to think who else.
Now his brother is on this year's Swampscott team, right?
Yeah, he is. Oh, yeah, and then Dylan January, and obviously he's playing for the Navigators too, and then Nick Reiser, both going to Franklin Pierce next year, which that's going to be interesting to play them because Dylan caught me for 2 years at Swampscott, so it'll be kind of weird going back and pitching to him, but I'm excited.
You got it. And you at Stonehill, you would have played Bentley, right? They were in your league, right?
Yeah, yeah. So we actually did end up playing Bentley. But it was down in Florida.
Because I know their coach, Bob DeFelice, with North Shore Ties, his brother lives in Swampscott, is retiring.
Was my high school coach's coach when he was in high school in 1993 or something, 92.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
No, that sounds just about right, yeah. A lot of years guy there you're sharing with us, Luke, right?
Yeah, I know, yeah.
So let me ask you one or two last questions, Luke. So tell me about how you are staying in so-called baseball shape here during all of this.
Yeah, I mean, I got a few free weights downstairs that I've just been using and just running and then pretty much just throwing with my brother. I mean, it's good to have someone who's like also kind of has to stay in baseball shape in the house because it makes things a little easier when it comes to playing catch because I'm pretty much inside with him, so...
And since you're in the same family, the quarantine police can't come after you, I don't think, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's not too bad.
And finally, I guess, tell me about your studies at Stonehill, what you're majoring in and or what you're looking to do there.
So I'm a finance major, and lately I've been thinking about taking a political finance route, but I'm not really sure. You know, it's still up in the air. I mean, I do like finance a lot, but... I'm kind of still feeling it out because I'm still only a sophomore, going to be a junior, but I like the way it's going pretty much for sure.
Well, politics and finance really coming together right now as we speak for sure.
Yeah, exactly. I know, yeah.
Well, Luke, always it's great talking with you, and we hope that there is a season for the Navigators this summer, so there'd be a season for you guys as well because it's so important and so on. So, but, Luke, thanks for taking some time to join us.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, Luke Marshall from Swampscott, from Stonehill, and with the Navigators here on North Shore Sports Night.
All right, Bill, thank you very much. Appreciate it as always. Appreciate the participation by all of our interviewees tonight. And, of course, my thanks to Tim Kearns, Gary Larrabee, and also to Lynn Classical Baseball Coach Mike Sikowski and Danvers Baseball Coach Sean Secondini, along with Luke Marshall, of course. And, of course, checking in with Matt Roy from out in the... middle part of the state of Massachusetts. That's it for now. We, good Lord willing, we'll be back next Monday night. In the meantime, be safe, do the right thing. This is North Shore Sports Night on MSONewsSports.com. I'm Rick Moore. Thanks for being with us.